Hello. Before we get started, just a quick ask. If you are enjoying this podcast, please go over to iTunes and leave a rating and a review. Subscribe. If you're on Spotify, if you could follow, or if you're just out on Twitter or in the street, just tell a friend, tell someone you know that you think would like it. It'll just really help other people be able to find the podcast. Thank you. Welcome back to another episode of Their Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. We are your after show, where we just dig into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they are connected, and why they are soulmates. My name is Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
And tonight we have a special guest with us, our 9-year-old daughter. Who are you? What's your name?
Hi, I'm Avery Weber. I'm 9 years old and I'm in the fourth grade.
Nice. Yes, I like it. Wow. Yes, so Avery wanted to join us a little bit for the beginning of this episode because this is one of her favorites. Which episode is your favorite?
The funeral one.
It's
just my favorite it one is. And I like it.
What do you like so much about the funeral episode?
The part where they're all trying to figure out...
When they're all trying to figure out who Rebecca is
dating?
Yeah, that's a fun part, isn't it?
Dating.
And then my favorite character is Phoebe, Nora, and Rebecca. Probably Sam.
Oh, and wait a minute. But you forgot one of your other favorite characters because people might recognize
Keely?
You.
Keely? Yes. Yeah, I'm the girl with the ponytail. My name's Keely.
Keely. You dressed up as Keely, didn't you?
Yeah.
You enjoyed that?
Yeah.
What was your favorite part about dressing up as Keely?
The hair and the shirt and the clothes and the makeup.
So all of it.
So all of it.
About everything.
And I don't think I ever told people this when I posted the pictures, but there's one photo of you holding a cell phone, like you're taking a selfie of yourself. Yeah. And on the back, there is a pop socket that is lip balm. There's a little sticker that says, "Call me." And then the pop socket has like cherries on it. All of that was actually Avi's stuff. That is her phone and her pop socket and her stickers. That wasn't Keely at all.
I put those stickers. I had to cut a little bit off of the sticker. But yeah, that's my phone.
Yes. You have a little bit of Keely in you all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
Very into
it. And a little bit of sass, like Phoebe.
Phoebe is a little bit of sass. Now, in this episode, this is one of your favorite Phoebe parts. And you are a little upset that we don't really cover Phoebe.
I was a lot upset. Not a little, a lot upset.
What is your favorite part of Phoebe in this episode? Do you not want to say it?
What's so funny?
You can say it.
Phoebe is drawing something, right?
Yeah.
Part of the female anatomy. And it is impressively accurate. The drawings that she's making.
Yeah, they are.
I am really interested to see. That has to come up again in season 3. That can't be.
You have to dress me up as Phoebe.
You are pretty much. I know. How could we just? I mean, basically, dressing you up as Keely is almost like also Phoebe because I think they really make Phoebe look like Keely on this show, also.
Right.
Would you let me dress you up as Rebecca?
Give me a wig.
You want a blonde wig?
Yeah.
I know. That's going to be tough, though. And I'll tell you, it is not easy to find a child-sized eggplant-colored suit. I've looked.
Why can't we just use the one?
Well, what I thought would be
cute. The Judith Light one.
Oh, what you wore for Angela Bauer?
Yeah, the red one. And just like kind of like pink.
Yeah. Like, I don't. Rebecca and... Oh, I see. Dye that eggplant. Yeah, but that was kind of a jumper. Angela Bauer and Rebecca have very different styles, I think.
With the big shoulder pads.
Yes. Rebecca doesn't have giant shoulder pads.
No.
My plan was to have, because in that one part, Ted says to Rebecca, what if there's a little girl at home rocking an eggplant colored power suit, and she sees Financial Quarterly and knows that her dreams are possible. So that's why I wanted to get you a little eggplant colored power suit. And you could hold a little soccer ball. It'd be so cute. All right, I gotta look. I'll get you a blonde wig, though. I don't really know how
we'll
do that.
Yay!
That sounds good.
Amy, tell us a little bit about the episode we're going to cover tonight.
So the episode we're going to cover tonight is Midnight Train to Royston. It was released on October 1st, 2021, written by Sasha
Garone,
directed by MJ
Delaney. Very good.
And then the summary of the episode is Rebecca is faced with the possibility of Sam leaving Richmond, and Ted is dealing with the fact that Dr. Sharon is leaving. Yeah. And this is season 2, 2021.
Oh, yeah. I just use that link when I need to go to the Wikipedia, but thank you.
I'm sorry.
So you have some strong feelings about Rebecca dating Sam. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What are your thoughts on that?
That Rebecca's too old for Sam. I'm not saying she's old, but she's too old for Sam.
Okay.
No hate against Rebecca. No hate.
No, we love Rebecca in this house.
We love
Sam. Rebecca. But it's funny because when you and I didn't influence this opinion at all. And when Avi and I were watching the episode where they got together, she said, "Isn't that illegal?"
Is it though?
No, because he is an adult.
Question of the day, is it though?
He is 21 years old, so he is an adult. He just is 25 years younger than Rebecca is. Okay, and then earlier you said that Sassy is one of your favorite characters.
Oh yeah, Florence Sassy?
Yeah. So who would you like to see Ted be boyfriend girlfriend with on this show?
Rebecca.
Okay, thank you. You can stay.
what if I said Sassy?
You would have had to move out.
Nah, I'm good. No, but Rebecca, this podcast is literally called "They're Soulmates."
Exactly. Yes.
So like, they're soulmates.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just want to be here to mention the big laminated picture of Ted's face on my mom's computer, and when I saw that, it freaked me out because it was on the like the little container of the Ted Lasso biscuits.
Yeah. Okay.
And then when
I
saw
explain that,
and then and then when I saw that, I was like, it scared me. It mentally scared me. I needed some help after that.
It's a cute little face. So here's the story.
It's creepy.
No.
It's creepy.
It's a little tiny bit creepy.
It's creepy.
But we had some friends come to stay. Mm-hmm. And so I made a batch of the Ted Lasso biscuits for them and put them in a Tupperware and put them in their guest room.
Was it the Zeemans?
No, it was Donald and Janice. You didn't actually get to see them because this is way too long of a story to tell on this podcast. But we were going to New York. They were visiting LA. They stayed in our house. And while we were gone.
This is going so sidetracked.
So I left them a thing of Ted Lasso biscuits because they are also Ted Lasso fans. And I didn't have pink boxes. So I just printed out a picture of Ted's face, which is one of the little emoji stickers. And then I laminated it and I put it on the Tupperware. And then when they left, I couldn't just throw that away. So then I put it on the back of my
computer. A little Ted Lasso tip on... If you go on your text messages and there's a little apple icon, and if you click that, you can see a bunch of Ted Lasso stickers.
You can
which
download.
I told you that.
You did.
You give me the credit.
I did. I gave you the credit when I put it on Instagram. My 9-year-old daughter showed me how to get Ted Lasso stickers. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's get into this episode. So when this episode starts, it's a match, and Sam has just pulled off what is called a hat trick. And if I knew more about football, I would know what a hat trick is, but I don't.
I wanted to tell. I'm so sorry, but when he's like walking out, I love how the lady that's like talking to him when he's like texting Rebecca, the lady is like standing there like taking a picture behind him.
She is.
And it was just funny. I like.
I know. Like, why? I wondered why she is taking that picture. Like, I think she knows Sam well enough that he would turn around and like smile for her because as we know from another episode, that is Liza, who works there, because Ted says, "Hey, Liza, way to keep that ALS challenge alive," and then, or ice bucket challenge alive.
And I wanted to say, when we're seeing his phone, he sends too much emojis. Mm. There's like two lines full of two emojis.
Yes.
It's the cool emoji and the winky emoji.
Yeah, it's like, it looks like the text I get from you all the time.
But see,
says the one who says hello when I'm at school.
But let's tell what's going on here. So we see the game is over. Sam's getting into his car to go home. He's opened up his text messages from, he's getting his Tesla, yes. He's opening up his text messages from Rebecca. And so what this is telling us is we can see that he has sent her a couple of smiley faces with glasses.
Can I read it?
Ooh, hang on. And then a couple of winky faces. So he's like trying to get her to respond to him, and it hasn't been working. And then go ahead and read what he wrote to her here.
"I'd be great to see you again. No pressure at all, but I do miss you."
And then she never responded. We don't even know. Like, that could have been the day before or something.
Yeah, right. We don't know. Yeah.
Rejection. Hard.
And then she wrote back a hat trick, buddy. Right. Brilliant. A hat trick is scoring three goals in one game.
Oh.
So that means Sam scored three goals in one game. Three times in a game. And
awesome.
We are to assume he scored three goals.
Look at that. Thank you for putting the hard work in that I wasn't willing to do. No, Daddy. Because he looked up what a hat trick is. So now this is the first time she's communicating with him.
I mean, I don't have a laptop, that we so see. I can't do it.
And she says, "A hat trick, bloody brilliant. I'm so happy for you." And then he sees those three dots. And he's waiting to see what those three dots are going to say. Because maybe it's going to be like, "Why don't you come over tonight?" Or, "No.
Have a nice day, X."
Yeah. Night. Have a nice night. And she does give the little kissy sign, but not really. It's just an X, not even like an emoji kissy.
XO means hugs and kisses, so basically a hug. And then when he's in the car...
Oh, wait. Is the cross a hug and the O is a kiss?
Yeah. No, I thought it was the other way around.
Me too.
Like, hugs, kisses, XO.
It's not... I don't know about that.
I love...
All right, Daddy's going to look it up as you knock stuff over.
No, Daddy put it on my ear. Anyway, so I love how when he's getting in the car and then he's like getting all settled in and one of the players is like, "Goodbye." And then he completely forgets how to drive.
Yes, he's
and
terrible
then
in
like,
that
skirt,
car.
Skirt, skirt, skirt. And then the man yells, "Watch out."
I know. I don't know how he isn't going to kill someone in that car. That Colin should not be driving that car.
He probably got sued already. So we just figured out... that O's represents a hug and an X represents a kiss. So it's actually kiss and hugs. I was wrong. Mommy was right.
Oh, at least you admit it.
Thank you. When we first see Rebecca in this episode, she and Keely are up in her office and Keely's telling her some excited news. And this part is so strange. It's really cute, but it's just kind of silly because she's like, she doesn't even know what to do with the information that she's going to be featured in Vanity Fair. And so she's like going, "Wah!" And then Rebecca's doing it back to her. And then she's like, "Are you making fun of me?" And then Rebecca's like, "Of course not." But I feel like these two actresses probably just had so much fun doing this part that even if it doesn't completely make sense, it's still super cute. It's very not Rebecca, but I feel like Keely brings out the best parts of Rebecca. So makes her more silly than she tries to be in public. Ted walks in. He has his biscuits. He's all ready for biscuits with the boss. And Rebecca says to him, "Ted, guess who is going to be in Vanity Fair's business issue about powerful women on the rise?" And he says, "Me? I finally got it." And I love how...
doesn't it say like women's or ladies?
Yes, but he's just being silly. But Rebecca knows Ted so well now that she just says, "Ted." And he stops immediately.
Exactly.
Like a child. And this is pretty much how the rest of their marriage is going to go once they get married. And she says, "Not you."
What if it doesn't happen, though?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
What if they don't get married?
All right, Avi, it's been nice having you on the show.
Isn't it time for bed?
No.
But no. So, yes, they don't have to get married. They could just live together.
That's
or
whatever, true. They forever. Don't.
And there is a chance that it's not going to happen. And then we have already decided that we're going to burn down this podcast.
What do you mean burn down?
I'd probably just take it off of Apple.
Yeah, that's right.
Or we'll just leave it there and let the people who think the same
come along
for this ride with us.
This podcast?
I'll leave this episode up for you. The rest of them we'll take down.
Yay!
Okay, so then Ted's like, oh, yes. Okay, Keely, that makes much more sense. So he's excited for her. He's saying congratulations. Then he says, you know, today, he puts the biscuits down and he says, today, I'm not here to give. I'm also here to receive. And he says that he would like to collect some money for Dr. Sharon because she's leaving and they want to do a little going away party for her. And they're going to give her a gift. And I guess the gift is just a pile of cash. I
know. They don't know what to give her.
Yeah. He says she already has all of our deep dark secrets. So he's just going to give her money. And then I love, it's so Rebecca and Keely. So Rebecca hands over a neatly folded, what?
Look at Rebecca's face.
Oh, yeah. She hands over a neatly folded pile of cash. And then Keely is
shoving crinkles of dollars in his hand. It's like.
Where did she have all that?
Yeah, I don't know. Must have been jammed in her pocket.
Yeah.
Dollars. And then Keely's like,
It's like a child was handing money over. So Higgins comes in and he lets them know that a man named Edwin Akufu would like to talk to Rebecca. And she's like, who is that? And he says that he is a billionaire who just inherited a bunch of money from his late father and he's way into football. And Higgins thinks that he's going to want to buy the club.
And then I love how when Keely hears it, she starts spreading lipstick
on her face.
Across her cheek.
All over her face.
For her, it's her left cheek, but for us, it's her right cheek.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ted makes it down to his office just in time to hear Roy and Nate and Beard, well, actually, it's just Roy and Nate, talking about clothing, because Roy is going to be doing a photo shoot with Keely for when she does this Vanity Fair issue.
I wonder if Beard's gonna ever tell us his name.
His first name?
I don't know.
Yeah, we're gonna have to watch.
We'll find out.
Yeah, season 3.
Or his name is permanently Beard.
Maybe his name is Beard. Yeah, Beard.
Okay, thank you, bye.
So Ted walks in when they're talking about what Roy's going to wear, and he's like, I just love when guys are talking about fashion.
So Ted.
That is very Ted.
It is.
And Nate goes up to him and says, okay, listen, this weekend at the match, I think that we should try my false nine play. And Ted's like, sure, whatever. That sounds good. We'll do it. What is it?
What's that?
So I found out that it's a play where you play without strikers. He explains it here. He basically says that they're going to have Jamie and Danny on the field, but not in their normal position so that it fakes out the other team. And Ted's like, that sounds great. So he leaves. And then Nate's like, as Ted leaves, Nate's like, don't you ever wish? He's like, he's going to run this play and it's going to work. And then he's going to take all the credit. Stop hitting the table. He's going to take all the credit, and he asked Coach Beard and Roy, don't you ever just wish that you could be the boss? And Roy's like, this is the job. Like, this is how we work. And Beard says something very deep, which is that they used to think that trees competed with each other for sunlight.
Right.
But after some field work, they discovered that the trees are actually a socialist community, and they work together to make sure everyone gets enough light.
It's pretty deep.
It's beautiful.
He went deep too far. He went digging too far.
No, what do you think that means, Avi?
I don't know.
Okay, so I think it means that instead of them, I feel like all throughout life, we grow up thinking that we have to compete with other people. Like if someone gets something good, that takes away from you. And it doesn't take away from you because you still have whatever opportunities are going to be there for you. So it's better to celebrate when other people get success. Even if sometimes your initial reaction is to feel jealousy, I think if you can like teach yourself to try to not think of it as something to be jealous about, but something to celebrate. And then if we do all do that for each other, everyone's going to be in a much better position. So he's basically saying, look, we all work together. We all put in these ideas and then they work. Do you need to talk?
Yeah, I want to say something.
Go ahead.
Don't be a sore loser.
Exactly. Don't be a sore loser.
Yeah, to sum it up.
Yeah.
And don't even be a sore winner. Mm.
And if we all work together, but this show is a very, this show really holds this idea up. Because Ted has come here to say, like, listen, it doesn't matter if we win or lose. It matters how we work together. He wants all the guys on the team to work well together.
Oh, right, right.
The friendship that they're showing us between Rebecca and Keely is very different from what we see women. Women on television have always been very competitive and usually fight, and they don't do that at all here. Down on the field, we see all the coaches lined up, and you think they must be working on a very serious play.
Uh-huh. This is my favorite part.
Yeah, you think they're working on the false nine.
It's funny because, like, it's think they're working on a very serious song, like something very serious. No, they're learning a dance just for
this is serious. Serious business here. For Dr. Sharon.
Dr. Sharon. Yes. And then, like... And then, like, the way they all freak out when they get it right, it's like when I used to dance, is when I get it right, I'd be like, okay, good. No, they scream and shout.
Yes, because they're grown men who don't do this. So they're working very hard on their goodbye dance to Dr. Sharon. And it is Bye 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 by NSYNC?
Or yes, Backstreet NSYNC. Boys.
Okay, thank you. And then they do finally get it right, and everyone is very excited.
From the No Strings Attached album.
Right, and that's, Ted's like, it's like a he's showing them the jump, right, and he's like, it's a marionette, like you're a puppet. That's right. Why it's on No Strings Attached.
Right, and also if you saw the video for that song shows them as they are puppets or marionettes.
We watched that after that episode, just so that we could see. We did. And the kids saw it too.
And then like... And then so the helicopter arrives and stuff.
Yes.
And then when they all get out of the car and then Ted wants to shake, wasn't it?
This is Edwin Akufu. So
Edwin Akufu's hand, he's like, I don't shake. And then he's like, oh, okay. And then when he gets to Sam, he shakes hands with...
He does.
He shakes hands with Sam. And then Ted felt so betrayed.
Yeah, well, what he learns is that Edwin Akufu doesn't shake white men's hands.
Right.
Yeah. He shakes Sam's hand. So he has like a Secret Service whole entourage with him, and a helicopter lands on the field. He gets out, and Ted's like, okay, well, you must be here to see Rebecca Welton. And he says yes. Edwin apologizes for stopping whatever they were doing. And Ted says, oh, Hakuna Matata. And then he's like, oh, that's kind of racist, isn't it? And that's one of the things that I love about Ted is sometimes when he does, there's been a couple of instances on this show where he says something and then he's like, oh, and he catches himself and then he apologizes for it and doesn't try to make excuses or anything. Same thing when he tried to give Sam the little army man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
And Sam asked if it would be okay if he didn't keep it because he didn't have the same loyalties to the military. And he didn't get defensive or anything. He was just like, oh, absolutely. And then he apologized for it and moved on, which I think a lot of people could take this trait into their own lives. And everyone's going to say something wrong at some point, but just own it and apologize and do better after that.
Just own it and apologize for it. It's the Ted way.
Avi, I want to thank you very much for being here this evening. It was delightful. It really was. Mm-hmm. We tried this one time on the Who's the Boss podcast, and I don't think it went as well as this.
What do you mean? What do you mean not as well as this?
Because you're really talking and adding to the conversation. It's been enjoyable.
Then what did I do last time?
Shh, pull your head back.
And what did I do last time?
I don't know.
We'll
have to pull up the tape. I think it was more of you just being nervous. But thank you very much for doing this. Yep. And
oh, yeah, with me and Isla.
It is time for you to go to bed now. So say goodbye to everyone. Say goodnight. Say bye.
Good night. Bye. Watch Ted Lasso.
Now on the podcast, it just sounds like a sitcom when the sitcom parents tells their kid to go to bed and then the kid just immediately leaves.
Yes.
That's what it seems like happened.
Right.
Because we just picked right back up.
Right.
But we did actually have to get her to go into her room.
Right. And she probably won't go to bed for a while.
No. She'll probably wander out here at least 6 more times, but we will cut that out.
Yeah, that's true.
But you got your microphone back and both of your earbuds.
Yes, I do. Makes me happy.
You don't have to share them anymore.
I kept getting a knee to the gut. I don't know what was happening. She kept pushing me and pulling the earbud out of my ear.
She was so cute, though. She did a good job.
That's why I let it ride.
Yeah, she did a good job. Now, in Rebecca's office, Edwin Akufu is there, Ted is there, Higgins is there, Keely is there. And she tells him, Mr. Akufu, like, I'm just going to tell you straight off that I don't want to sell this club at all. And he's like, oh, I don't want to buy the club. It's like, I'm just interested in one of your players. And that's Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And then Keely says, but Rebecca loves Sam.
I know. Slip up.
I know. Keely, you're not helping here at all. And like, I get it because she's just like trying to be supportive for Rebecca. But it just seems like silly that she would actually say that out loud in a business meeting during all this, knowing that no one else really knows about what's going on with Sam.
Right.
But this guy's like, you know, he says, you know, I'm going to make an offer so good that people are going to think you're taking advantage of me. And, you know, he won't be able to say no to it. And then Ted's completely oblivious to everything that's going on here. Like, there's all this stuff going on in Rebecca's head, all this stuff going on in Keely's head.
Right.
And Ted's like, oh, man, now I wish we had two Sams.
I know. Like, he just wish he could make everybody happy.
And he says, how are they with the cloning, the Scottish folks? He's like, they got kind of quiet about it for a while. And then Edwin leans over and says, you know, my father used to say that a sad man
a
is
sad
still
white man,
man
is still a white man.
Yes. And so again, and Ted, you can tell like he kind of realizes that he's being insulted, but lets it slide off his back and maybe doesn't fully realize it at the same time.
True.
So Sam comes in and that's exactly who Edwin wants to see, but that's not why Sam came up there. I think Sam just came up to talk to Rebecca and was not expecting to walk into a room full of people. And Edwin's like, oh, he gets up and Sam goes to shake his hand, and Ted's like, oh, he doesn't, and then he immediately
starts shaking hands.
Yes. So he says he would like to take Sam out for a bit and have a discussion with him, and Sam agrees, and so they leave. Now again, once Sam leaves, everyone is having their own little personal journey here. Higgins starts talking about how he once wrote a screenplay where a billionaire takes a football player out to an expensive restaurant and then they get their meal for free because there's a little bit of glass in the pasta.
In the pasta.
And Rebecca's not listening to him at all.
I know, and it's so out there.
It is. It is. Like, this so...
We're supposed to believe that was a real dream?
Like, there's... This show breaks a lot of screenwriting rules, I feel, sometimes, which is, like, every... Which is bizarre because every line on this show matters. Everything they say has a purpose.
Right.
And so even though that seems so completely out there, that like, what is this thing about Higgins writing a screenplay? And then Keely's interested in it. Even as far out as it is, and maybe seems like breaking screenwriting rules of having stuff in there that isn't really needed, I think it's just to show how Rebecca's completely like melting down inside her head right now while this ridiculous conversation is going on, and she holds it all inside and no one even notices.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the only thing you might notice is that she aggressively bites into a biscuit, but we're pretty used to Rebecca doing that by now. So I don't even know that Ted would have picked up on that. Ted's down in his office talking to his son on FaceTime. Which is cute. You can imagine that they probably do this once a day while he's at work because the son's probably getting ready to go to school in the morning and it's like afternoon for them.
Right.
And he says, should I bring his show and tell? And he's asking, should I bring my Jamie Tart jersey or Lego Hogwarts? And Ted's like, I think I'd go with a Tart jersey just because I don't know how Lego Hogwarts is going to travel. You think he means that giant $400 castle?
I don't know.
I would not bring that to school. So Rebecca comes up to the door and she sees that he's on FaceTime and like, you know, motions, should I go? And he's like, oh, no, come on in. And he's like, 1 minute. So he says, you know, I got to go because somebody's here, but have a great day at school and I love you. Then he kind of puts the laptop down.
Yeah, but not all the way.
No. And now this is kind of mirroring the scene from season one where Rebecca came into Ted's office to let him know that she was the one that's been doing all this stuff and apologizing.
Right.
And instead she's like, okay, I'm just going to come right out and say it. I had a torrid affair with Sam. And then we hear Henry's voice go,
Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Dad, I'm still here.
I know, and then he closes it up.
Yeah, and he closes it, and then he lifts it up again to make sure that Henry's not there anymore, and then closes it again. And he's like, okay. And then he says, Samuel L. Jackson? And she's like, no, our Sam.
I know, another funny Ted Lasso joke.
Yes. Then Ted kind of has a conversation with himself in his head, and he's like, that's fine. I think that's fine. There's no problem with that. And then she says, I think I need to end it. And he's like, okay, yep, sure, I could see that. And she says that she asked Sam for a little bit of time, and now they're in kind of a weird limbo situation. And he says, great party game, horrible relationship status. That is true. And Ted's been there also.
Yes, he has.
Now, here's something we learned about Ted in an earlier episode. He is not going to ever tell somebody that if he thinks that this is a terrible idea, he's not going to tell Rebecca that. Because he said he stays out of it, which is the same reason why he hasn't said anything to Beard about Jane. Because his philosophy is you got to let people figure it out for themselves, yep. Because it's never going to work out if you try to interfere. So we really don't know what Ted thinks about this. Like, I can't imagine that he thinks it's a very good idea. But also at this point, he doesn't have any reason to judge her. It has nothing to do with him. And so he's not going to. But when the story first came up, or the storyline, I kind of wasn't sure where they were going to go. I almost thought that perhaps we'd see like paparazzi photos or whatever of Rebecca and Sam, and then Ted would maybe think that she was still lying to him and still trying to sabotage the team. But they didn't go in that direction at all. Like, it was hard to tell what his reaction was going
to be
to this. And I also didn't expect her to just come out and say it to him either, because, like, why? Why would she? Like, she's just telling her friend here because she's now in a jam and she doesn't know if she's going to be able to be rational in this situation, if Sam is going to take another offer or not. And she says, you know, like, so I asked for some time and now he may leave and I've lost all objectivity and I don't know if I'm going to want him to stay because I have feelings for him or if I want him to stay just because he's a really good player. And then she says, we were really great together. Those two weeks were fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was only 2 weeks.
It was only 2 weeks, and they never, I mean, and they probably did it on purpose, but they didn't really show exactly why these two people like each other that much, other than Sam is super sweet and they're both hot. Like,
right.
You know, obviously they didn't have very many deep conversations about what they want in the future, but I think they just had a lot of fun together. But Ted's like, you know what? Just don't listen to Sam. Don't listen to Edwin Akufu. Don't listen to anyone. Just listen to you. And he said, listen to your head. And then on the way down, check in with your heart.
Right.
Yeah. And he said, and then you'll know what to do.
Which is kind of good advice.
It is good advice. And really the only advice he can give, because it has nothing to do with him. And even if he is already feeling a little bit of like a crush on her or anything, again, it still has nothing to do with him. And so, and we know that he's not going to really give an opinion on it either way. And she really appreciates it. She says, thank you. And they kind of end on almost the same parallel. Like in the first season, we kind of saw them standing, and it's the cover of our, obviously, our cover art is this one. And you saw them standing, and then again, they're standing. And then he says to her, you're making a habit out of this. It's like the same time last year, you came down here and dropped a truth bomb. And then she says, I'll see you again next year.
Oh, boy.
So I wonder, like, I think it'd be too on the nose at this point for that truth bomb to be like, I'm in love with you or whatever. So I feel like it's going to be something else. But what could it be?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I just don't think this show is that obvious to, like, have that be where she's going to tell him she loves him.
Yeah, that's true.
Or she's going to kiss him or anything.
Right,
like, I feel like if there's going to be a truth bomb in the third season, something will have already happened with them, and right. then it happens, or it's going
to
be...
It gets brought back to light or something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, I feel like it'll be adjacent to their relationship, obviously, but I don't think that they will have her go downstairs yeah. and, like, declare that she loves him, and that's the third truth bomb.
We shall see.
Yeah. Ted goes to Dr. Sharon's office to invite her to Colin's birthday party as a cover for her goodbye party.
Right.
But when he...
To drop off a gift, right?
Yes, at the party, I think they were planning on giving her a gift.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, no, something's going to go down with the cats in a minute. But when he gets to her office, it's Higgins in there and not her. And Higgins is like, oh, she left already. And he's like, no, her last day is tomorrow. He's like, oh, no, she had an emergency.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm getting confused. Okay, yeah, yeah.
So she left now, and he says, but she left you this letter, and Ted loses his mind. Right. He gets really upset about this. So he's like, no, I'm not taking the letter. And he goes to walk out. And then, of course, Higgins does one of his cute little puns, which is, don't...
Yeah, what was it?
Don't let us get away with this or something.
So bad.
And so Ted has to go back in and get the letter. So he storms off. And we see him in front of Sharon's apartment complex waiting for her. She rides up on her little bike and says, Ted. Yep. And she's like, how long have you been waiting here? And he's like, a long time. And I really have to use the John, but I'm going to wait a little longer because I'm so ticked off at you. No. So he goes up with her. And this time he's carrying her bike again, but it's completely folded. And he's like, this is actually a lot easier to carry when it's not all smashed up and it's folded. So he says to her, like, how could you do this? How could you just leave and not say goodbye to me? And she says, I'm not really good with goodbyes.
Mm.
And he's like, yes, but we've been through therapy and you understand that I have abandonment issues.
Right.
And then you just left. And she's like, I know, but I put it all in the letter. And he doesn't want to read her letter. And then he says, you know, I choreographed a whole football team of men to do a dance for you. And we got you a gift, which he throws on the counter and says, spoiler alert, it's a pile of cash.
I know. And then cash is flying everywhere.
And she's like, yeah, but you knew I was leaving. And he says, yes, but I wanted a chance to say goodbye. So again, she's trying to tell him, you know, like, I appreciate the time that we've spent together. You've actually made me a better therapist working with you, which really, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, how much, what did Ted do? But I think they had a nice, you know, breakthrough in their friendship for sure. And she says, I'm telling you, I dealt with all of this. It's all in the letter. And so he finally gets angry enough that he's going to read the letter. So he takes it out. And Jason Sudeikis does such a good job in this scene.
I know, he does.
And there's a little bit of levity when he starts reading and says, you spelled favorite wrong.
Right, right.
And then you just see his face go on this journey of being angry and then reading and then understanding that it was a heartfelt letter and then being really touched and then almost to tears. And it's a super sweet scene.
I know, it's done very well too.
It is. And it's great that we actually don't know what's in the letter. And they said, I don't know if other fans have compared it to that or if they've actually said that, but there's really no reason to tell us what's in the letter because much like in the office when Jim had written Pam a note and put it in the teapot that she was supposed mm-hmm. to get for the Christmas white elephant.
Right.
And then she traded it and all that stuff happened. In the end, he takes the letter back and we never knew what was in the letter, but it's almost better that you don't know because no matter what it's going to be, it's not going to be what you've built it up to be in your head. So it's probably better just to leave it so that you don't ever know what the letter says. And I mean, there are some people who want Dr. Sharon and Ted to get together, and I don't see that at all. So this isn't in any kind of
interesting
romantic setting at all. But I think it is sweet just to see his face and his journey without actually knowing what's on the page. So she's like, okay, well, I still have some time before my train leaves. So why don't we, and I have a lot of cash now.
I know.
So why don't we go to the pub? And he says, great. And he's like, but I really have to pee first.
which we knew already.
We did. And whenever a character in a scene says that they have to pee, then the only thing I can think of
is how much they have to pee.
Right. For the rest of the day, are they going to get to pee soon?
I don't know. I do the same thing.
And so I was very happy. If they hadn't addressed that again, it would have like made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we got the button on the end that we know that Ted got to go pee.
I know, or else to be thinking about it the whole time.
The whole rest of the episode. They do go to the pub, and we see mm-hmm. them playing pinball, which is the same pinball machine that he was playing in a previous episode. And I thought we were going to get the resolution to who ACM is, but we don't. Sharon is playing, and she's like, you know, this is a great form of meditation. It's just you and gravity, and everything else goes away. And then she gets a high score, and she puts her name in, and it's SMF. So he's like, oh, what is that? Let me see. M. What could that be? And then he guesses Mildred? Sharon Mildred Fieldstone? She says, sexy motherfucker.
Yeah, close.
I love it.
He's trying to figure out our middle name. It's great.
It is. It's fantastic. This is the cutest. I love when two characters who don't spend a lot of time together on screen mm-hmm. have an episode together. And we've seen them together on screen, but not like this. Like now he is getting to know her as a friend and she is getting to know him, not just as a patient.
Right. Right.
That's really
cute.
They're
just hanging out.
Yeah. Hanging out, mm-hmm. sharing some beers, genuinely having a good time together. And he's like, okay, I'll get the next round. And he's like, oh, wait, no, I'm not. He's like, it's still on you, Dr. Moneybags. And then Ted has to pee a lot in this episode because he's like, I got to go to the bathroom. Or he says to one of my favorite British words and my favorite Diamond Phillips, the loo, and walks away. Yeah. And Baz, Paul, and Jeremy come up at that time and see that Dr. Sharon is there. They know that she is the team, I almost said psychic, therapist, and starts asking her questions. Paul apparently has dreams about snakes because he's very afraid of snakes in his garden. I love Paul so much because like these three guys are idiots.
They really are.
But he is just like the sweetest, most sensitive, and he's always the one that's like saying, telling them not to say mean things. And you know, and he wants his garden to be a safe place because that's where he tends to his tomatoes. And so I just love him so much. So then May comes up and she's like, will you guys go piss off, you three? She's like, if you want psychiatric help, call the number I gave you.
Yeah, right. Like, so that means she already gave them all a number.
She just wants them to
leave. To a psychiatrist or something.
Dr. Sharon alone.
That's funny.
May hands her a beer and then she says, wait, no, I ordered two of them. And she's like, no, this Ted said to give you this. She opens it up and it just says, goodbye, Ted. And she's like, son of a bitch, stole my move.
Yeah, I did.
But this was a gift to her because he knew that she wasn't going to want to say goodbye to him in person. So he got what he wanted. He got his goodbye.
Right.
And then he just bailed. He
bolted, yeah.
Yeah. So that she didn't have to have the uncomfortable time of saying goodbye to him. And when she looks at her beer glass, there's an army man at the bottom. Now, that wouldn't really sit at the bottom.
No, it would float right to the top.
Yeah, I want to know what they did to get it. What did they do to get it to sit?
They stuck it on the bottom of that glass with some kind of adhesive.
Yeah, and then they poured the beer
in some way, shape, or form.
And she's looking at it, and May comes over, and she goes, I'll get you another one without shit in it.
Without shit in it. Like, she's like, you could tell she went along with.
Right, it probably
she
was.
She thought Ted's thing was stupid, but she went along with it.
She went along with it anyway, yes.
Right, like, I don't know what this is. I'll get you one without shit in it.
Now, at the same time, we see Rebecca sitting outside of Sam's apartment or house. I don't know. It must be a house.
Yeah, I guess so.
And we find out that, well, I guess we already knew that because he said he lived at 152, whatever. But his banter name was London 152, which was a play on You've Got Mail, the way the two names were, but
right.
So that wasn't a very original name there, Sam. Just where you live and the actual house number.
Yeah, not good.
This is where I kind of started getting really annoyed with Rebecca, because like, what are you doing out here?
I know.
Like, leave this guy alone. He has laid all the cards out. Like, he is letting you know that he wants to be with you, as ill-advised as that probably is for the long term. He's not thinking about any of that, and he's been completely upfront with her the entire time.
Right.
And now she's just kind of stringing him along.
And he's in the middle of making some
life-changing decision.
Right.
I really thought that after the funeral episode, we were going to see Rebecca like, okay, I'm done with dating for a while. I need to figure myself out first. And then this one out, I was like, oh, you're still a mess. Like, no, leave this guy alone and move on. Yeah. She tells him, I'm not ready to give you an answer about us. And I know that I shouldn't tell you not to go, but I really hope that you don't go.
Mm.
So... I'm not going to tell you that I want to be with you, and I'm not going to tell you to stay, but I'm just going to make you feel worse about trying to make this decision.
Right.
By telling you that I really hope you don't go so that I can string you along a little bit longer. I think other people felt similarly because after this episode aired, I tweeted that Rebecca really needed to get a puppy and a vibrator.
Oh, God.
And, and it was a pretty popular tweet. People liked it.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm the only one that felt that way. So now we go back to Ted's apartment where he's come home. He's feeling pretty good. He had a great night with Dr. Sharon. He got to say a proper goodbye to her. And then he left. And so he ended it on his terms, which were really her terms. So he's feeling good. He's probably a little drunk. And then he gets a text message from Trent Krim.
Trent Krim, who says... This is Trent Krim, and then the next text is The Independent. And you know what's really funny about this? They made it very authentic where I've gotten texts from people that I've gotten that are sent me emails and stuff in my contact. So they're not necessarily my contact list, but then it says maybe so-and-so, and this says it. So like he's gotten stuff from Trent, either email or something somewhere, and the iPhone recognizes he may be a... Because he didn't necessarily have them as a contact because they weren't that close.
Right, yeah.
But he
wasn't in the phone, but yes, they
I thought that was interesting.
It's great, yeah. And probably also because this is Apple TV, so they're going to
do whatever
they can to show off these phones can show them. And so, it's just so funny how it's the second line is The Independent.
Right, just like he always introduces himself.
So he says, this will be in the print edition tomorrow morning, but I wanted to give you a heads up. And then it is an article that is now online that says that Coach Ted Lasso suffered a panic attack during the FA Cup match. And then as Ted's reading it, he's like, oh no. And you can tell that he's upset by this. And Trent goes on to say, as a journalist, I had to write that it's an anonymous source, but as someone who respects you, my source was Nate.
Hmm.
And so Nate has gone where we all hoped that he wouldn't, but he did. The whole season they were building up to Nate going to stab Ted in the back. But I think maybe we were hoping with this show, when sometimes things don't really happen the way that you think they're going to happen, that maybe that wouldn't have been the case, but it was. And then he says, would you like to comment? And Ted says, no comment.
And then at this point, all through it, Karma Police by Radiohead's playing, which is quite fitting.
Yes.
I guess that means Karma maybe will come back to Nate, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he brought up Karma Police, though, in another episode.
He does.
And so then it comes back here, which
is
great.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, personally, I think that he is going to forgive Nate and they are going to end up back
in the end.
Yes.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And I know nobody wants that to happen.
Right.
But I really think it is going
to happen. I think you're right. You might be right too.
Yeah.
I agree.
If Nate is willing to see, obviously that he made a mistake or whatever and own up to it, I totally think that Ted will take him back because that is just Ted.
Right.
And it's not so much that Ted is going to let people walk all over him. Hopefully
he's just a forgiving.
Right. He's just going to forgive it. And actually, I saw an interesting interview with Jason Sudeikis where he said, you don't have to forget, but to not forgive means that you're carrying the weight of another person.
Right.
And oftentimes he could go through the rest of his life and never forgive Nate for this. And Nate doesn't feel that, only he does. So you're hurting yourself again by letting yourself carry that burden and carry that weight for the rest
of
your life.
That's true. It's good life.
But advice. Yeah, it is. I am really curious to see where this is going to go because we know that the show likes to turn things in a way that we think maybe it's not going to you know, not the obvious route. So let's see.
Oh, yeah, they're very good at that.
All right, what did we learn about Ted? He really has to pee.
Yeah, he does. He really has to pee.
He has a small bladder.
He has a small bladder. No. Except for that other time he did. The last time he didn't really pee, he left. Right?
When he left Sharon. Oh, yeah, it's true. Right. But he probably went to the bathroom. Or he lives close. Maybe not. True, yeah, right? That's true. What is that called when you don't say goodbye? It's called an Irish goodbye. Is that racist? Or is that like a thing that
No, I don't
think
it is. I think it's a real thing. Irish goodbye?
I'm not Irish, but I'm a big fan of the Irish goodbye.
That's where you leave without saying goodbye, I believe.
Yes, I hate saying goodbye at parties because it takes forever and I just want to go home.
Just walk right out the door.
Just leave.
When's the last time you've been to a party?
Well, a long time. But honestly, is anyone really going to care? They're not even going to notice that I left in the first place.
No,
so,
that's usually how it works.
Yeah, see you later. Okay.
Yeah, and then once again, I mean, we didn't really learn this new about Ted, but he has a thing about people getting abandonment. He has his abandonment issues. We haven't learned, but it's still a thing. You know, anyone that's somewhat important in his life, if they, you know, leave without saying goodbye or whatever, you know, he really takes it personally.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
No one can do an Irish goodbye with
No. And with he puts Ted. His heart into... He was putting his heart into this goodbye.
Right. That's true, too. He was working on and collecting the cash and the whole thing.
He's the person at the office that always is, like, big on making sure the birthdays are celebrated. And I admire those people because I'm so not good at any of that.
Right.
And it's just... It was really sweet how much he was putting into this. And all the guys have gotten kind of close to Sharon because they showed that she was, you know, talking to a lot of them. So it was really sweet that these guys really wanted to say a nice goodbye to her. Then for what we learned about Rebecca is that she's still a mess.
I know. I feel like with her, it was one of those things where she got with Sam. Everything was great. She had a good time. But then she's like, well, you know, I'm going to end this or whatever. And then with the threat of like losing him forever.
Right.
With this, you know, what's his name coming
Edwin
in?
Edwin Akufu. Edwin Akufu.
The thought like that he could be gone. Now all of a sudden it's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She realizes that he could be gone. And now she's.
But what is she contemplating? Like.
I don't know.
Because in reality. I don't know. She decides she wants to have a relationship with him. Where does she really see the two of them in 20 years when Sam is
I don't
now
know, but I mean, right now she just realized, maybe I don't want him to go.
Right.
And she's got a hold, she's holding on to something. I don't know.
Maybe she thinks that there's not going to be anyone else out there that she's going to like as much, but yeah.
Or she's just realizing she really does like him. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think she totally likes
him. I mean,
him.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if he was more age appropriate, I don't see any reason why the two of them wouldn't have tried to have a relationship together.
True.
But she's the one, like, am I contemplating, am I okay with possibly being left when I'm 60 because he's going to realize that he doesn't want this anymore? Or am I not okay with that?
Yeah,
like,
no,
it's just
true.
A ridiculous thing to contemplate in the
Good
beginning
point.
Because she's the one that has everything to lose here. So.
True.
But meanwhile, she's just hurting him by stringing him along when he's been completely upfront with her the whole time and isn't playing games at all. Anyway, what did Rebecca learn?
I don't know.
That she's a mess. And I think she's going to figure that out also and that she can't be objective about this. And I don't really even know, like, what was her thought process on if... They did end up in like the papers, which I'm not positive that's not going to happen in the third season.
Right.
That at some
Probably
point,
opens that way.
Yeah. Because we saw Rebecca look around to see if anybody was out there when she and Sam were on the doorstep, which you know probably wasn't a mistake that we saw that.
Trent Crim's hiding in the bushes.
What was that? Ernie Lowndes,
the jerky guy. Yeah.
So I'm still not sure that wouldn't be a storyline in the. Third season, and I'm kind of curious about that. But yeah, so I think Rebecca's maybe learning here that she needs to get her shit together. And then what did Ted learn? I think he learned that Dr. Sharon's not wanting to say goodbye really didn't have anything to do with him.
And then maybe she's, you know, maybe they're alike more than he thinks.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Or realizes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think that's true. Yeah. And I think it was sweet how he let her have her no goodbye. They both got what they needed out of the end of that.
Right.
Are they any more aware of each other?
No.
No.
Not in this episode.
So originally, I didn't really think that Ted has feelings for Rebecca yet.
Right.
But after rewatching this a few times, I'm not quite sure that he isn't feeling a little something already. Because in that, in the part where she's telling him about Sam, like, I can't tell if his reaction is just like, well, this is bonkers.
Right.
Or if it's like, oh, yeah, so that's the type of guy that you're looking for.
Right, like, right. I see that.
Because he looks a little sad at the end, like,
yeah, I could see that.
Shit, I really would never have a chance even if I tried to pursue it. And he kind of like really watches her leave and it looks a little sad. So I don't think I really noticed that as much the first time we watched this, but I'm starting to think that he possibly could have a bit of a crush on her already. But she is not at thinking about this at all, I don't think.
All right. I can see that.
But I also don't think that Ted's over his ex-wife yet either. So
no.
It's probably like, you know, he's all confused too. He also just needs to get himself together first.
I know.
All right. So that's it. And we did it in less than an hour.
How about that?
With a child here for 25 minutes of it. Oh, I'm pretty proud of us. Okay. And this is it, guys. We have one more episode to go. And then we're done with season 2. And if I was better at this, I would know what that episode title is called.
It's called Inverting the Pyramid of Success.
Oh, thank you. Awesome. Look at that handsome picture of Jason Statham on the top of the IMDb page.
I went and looked it up.
Thank you. Okay, yes. So that is it. And if you would like to yell at us on Twitter, which is always me on Twitter, which is a good thing for you to know, because when I say stuff like that could sound really awful if it was coming out of Kevin's mouth, always know that it's me. It's always me that's lusting after Rebecca and not Kevin.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like sometimes I'll put stuff about like Rebecca or the two of them, and then I'm like, if people think this is a guy, they might be really creeped out. Mm-hmm. But I have in our bio that the tweets are always me, and I think people know me well enough on there
figured it out
to know that it's me. Okay, so go to at Ted Becca on Twitter. No, at Ted Becca Podcast on Twitter. Or go to anchor.fm/Ted Becca Podcast and leave us a voice message. And we have one more episode. We'll play it. I'm warning you, we will play it. Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye.